Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
What up, it's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We've got a hell of a show for you today. You know, the reason I asked my first guest to come on is she's been a tremendous aspect in all of mixed martial arts, and now trying to create that second legacy or that second chapter in the Bare Knuckle Boxing Fighting Championships. And you got to give her credit for that because, you know, a lot of people find themselves complacent dealing with one aspect of life. Well, she's got her hands full and she's looking for more. So with that being said, let's welcome Jennifer Tate to the program. Jennifer, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Coming off a back surgery and a wreck. I was actually on my way to shoot Invicta Fighting Championships on the 15th of last month. And I've traveled this patch of highway forever. And I was doing 35 in like a 70. And I was the only car, and I hit a patch of ice. It threw me off into a damn light pulling off a 4 or 5 foot embankment, and then I landed and went head on with a tree. Wasn't that much fun, but you know, I'm getting the surgeries done now and moving forward. But it's because of my dedication for the fight that I took that chance and for the sport. Why does Jennifer Tate take, you know, that chance each and every time you step into an octagon, you step into a ring or on a mat? What makes you want to be that fighter? What makes you, gives you that drive that you can't stay away from?
I just really like to fight. I think it might be the adrenaline rush associated with it or something. It's just really fun.
Yeah, you know, it is, because it's like I could be dead as a dog, to be quite honest with you. I could be dead. And when the cameras come on and the lights and you hear the bell ring, it's like you get that second wind. It's like a rebirth on life. A lot of people don't understand that thought. The people in the sports world do, because there's just something about the thickness in the air when it comes to fight night. When you look at the creation of Jennifer Tate and all the paths that you've walked on, now that you sit back today and you look back over that shoulder, and you look at your life as a whole, how content are you with where you're at?
I'm very happy. I'm very happy with where I'm at. having the opportunity to experience all the different, you know, fighting styles, and I have my kids, my work, so I'm really happy. I'm just happy that I'm able to get in there and still do what I love.
Yeah. You know, that's what, you know, it really hits home with me, and I don't mean to cut into your interview, but a couple sponsors and a couple promotions let me go after this wreck, because I pretty much got tendon and ligament damage between my right thumb and my index finger, and I don't feel my thumb thoroughly right now, so I can't shoot, and they automatically just instantly let me go. And I found out via text, via email, and you know, nowadays with technology, they don't have the balls to tell you. But make a long story short, don't tell me I can't do something. Because if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to come back 10 times stronger. I mean, I might be 53, but I'm going to come back and probably rock the world better than I ever have. So, and they're going to ask me to shoot for them again, and they're going to get the middle. They're going to get that Stockton middle finger. they really are. They're going to get told what's up. You know, that's what I love about the story of you. You're a mother. You're a person that has persevered through adversity in life. You've seen struggles. What is it about Jennifer Tate, the person that truly has found herself attached to the bare knuckle world, considering you did quite well in other aspects of the sport?
You know, it's something new, and I think it's great to be a part of history. I was looking for bare knuckle fights, before it came out, and they just told me I was crazy. They don't do that. Like, I'd go to Thailand, try to get those rope fights, you know, where they wrap ropes on your hands. I'd try to get some of those. They're like, women don't. Everyone thought I was crazy, so once I saw it, like, coming out and becoming legal, I had to jump on it. It's something new. I wanted to do something new and different, and, you know, it's going to be bigger than the UFC. Like, everyone says it's brutal, but that's what they said about cage fighting, you know?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I did a show with Jacob Sistrand, who's just exclusively signed to the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships recently. He's worked the shows in the past, and he's been a brother of mine forever in the sport. We're family. You know, we did a live when people started talking about, oh, it's more brutal, it's this, it's, you know. And so we took to the social media aspect via a live, and we gave the world our thoughts. And with that being done, fighters started to transition to the sport because they realize that Jacob Stitcheran, being one of the greatest cut men in the world, he looks at every fighter as his kid, you know. So when he gave that advice, people adhered to it. And I tell you what, I love it. You know, I had Arnold Adams on. He was a tremendous young man. He was having some really rough times in his life when he took the tryouts for the tournament. And now look at him. He's the champion of the world, and he has a John L. Sullivan belt. You know, it shows that anybody can do it, because he was living in his car. What would it mean to Jennifer Tate to have that belt around your waist?
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. I would love to have the belt. And, you know, that's one of the goals, is to get that belt. Got to fight my way through some pretty good girls, but I'm down for a try.
Yeah. You know, I want to ask you a question, because you fought her in your last fight. And I don't really even want to get into that, but you guys have become somewhat kind of friends since then. You know, I want to get your thoughts on, you know, when it was out there for Christine Ferrer to fight Beck Rawlings, she said she didn't want to fight a paper champion. If that situation arose and you got that opportunity, would you look at it the same way, or would you seize the moment?
If I was Beck, you mean?
No, if you got the opportunity to fight Beck, would you look at her as a paper champion, as Christine Ferrer does?
You know, Beck's been around for quite some time, and she's paid her dues. She's earned that belt. You know, I mean, Chris has only fought one time, and she's already fighting for a belt, so it could go both ways. You know what I mean? Why call names? There's no point. I don't fight off anger. It's more of a joyous thing for me. So I don't need to get all angry and call people out and talk shit. And it's not my style. So I would fight her in a heartbeat.
She said, I'd take it in a heartbeat. You know, you talk about Thailand. You talk about other aspects of your life. You had so many other paths that you could have took. And we kind of touched a little bit on why you took the path to bare knuckle. How did your family, how did your other half, how did that aspect of life deal with the thought of you actually stepping up into the sport, and were they cool with it?
Oh, my parents, they weren't very happy. They're still not happy, because I plan on, you know, continuing to do it. And of course they just tell me, oh, we wish you would stop. But that's totally understandable, because as a mother, I don't want my kids to do competitive fighting. I see it's hard on your body, you know, my bones ache and stuff. So I'd rather have them go to school. My husband is super supportive. He's amazing. You know, he realizes it's a passion of mine. So he supports me 100%, and I couldn't ask for anything better. My kids think it's great.
You know, I do too. I mean, how would you, this is the first time I think I'm ever going to ask this question, because I mean, I've interviewed Chris Liddell, I've interviewed all of them. Matter of fact, Chris Lieben's getting ready to come on right after you. But how would you compare bare knuckle? I mean, I know they're apples and oranges, but how would you compare that adrenaline rush, that feeling from MMA to bare knuckle boxing?
They're both quite the same. You know, it's just a different set of rules, but it's still a great feeling. And the adrenaline rush is, you know, you can only peak on fight night, that awesome feeling. So it's pretty much the same, I would say. I would say now that I'm older, or not older, but that now that I've fought so much, back in the day, I used to get scared for like months ahead of time. And it was pretty crazy, like, you know, months following up to the fight. But now it's just, it's awesome because I don't get scared. I'm just like, yeah, let's fucking do this. And then, you know, so that was nice.
I like that. You know, I could be wrong here, but wasn't it you in your debut that beat Tonya Evinger in a triangle choke?
Yes. Yes, and that was on my pro record for like 6 years, and then all of a sudden one day it disappeared off my pro record, and I have a friend named Avery Vilcha who fought her girlfriend at the time, and somehow at that same time it disappeared off my friend's record too, that she beat Tanya's girlfriend. So that's my whole conspiracy theory. You'll hear me complain about it every few years.
Oh, man, we need to get Pat Mills to just... You know, I've seen it happen before. I've been in the industry for 23 years, but as you know, I've also been with Invicta since the beginning days, and I've been with other promotions for a long time. So, you know, you can't take away our thoughts. We're not dead yet. We still remember some things. You know, but you look at that moment, and now this God, I love this world of bare knuckle, because to me, like you said, it's going to be bigger than the UFC. It's going to be better than some aspects of boxing. I just think what Dave Feldman and Nate Shook are doing is tremendous. If you had to thank Dave Feldman and the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships family for what they've brought into your world, into your life, and the opportunities they've given you, what would that statement be, my friend?
Man, I couldn't thank them enough. I'm so happy that they took me on to their family. David Feldman is like a trailblazer. He's way ahead of his time, you know, like he's doing something that is amazing. And look, all of the guys down there, they treated their fighters so good. They're like a really high class promotion. We got the best rooms, you know, like good food. It was all really legit and really like professional, and I just couldn't be happier. I've never like fought for like such a great organization. So I am super happy, and thank you, Dave and the crew, because for this amazing opportunity.
Yeah. You know, I kind of feel the same way. You know, it's funny because Chris Lieben, he's going to be coming on talking about the Fighting Federation and about how they got stiffed. And I initially, after that, I was mad because I was a part of that aspect. And I called out Boss Rutan for what he did to the fighters right after Thanksgiving and right before Christmas, not paying them. And I think that was so wrong. I mean, especially during the holidays, you don't do that to anybody, let alone a fighter, because that's what they're looking for, to take care of their bills. And so I took the airways and I called out Boss Rutan. And then I believe it was that night I got a call from Dave Feldman. As I've known Nate Shook for years. And Dave said, you know what, I got to hand it to you, dude. I've been following you for some while, but it takes a lot of balls to call out Boss Rutan. And he said, I like the way you go against the grain. And it shocked me because he's a promoter. And you don't usually hear promoters talk like this. And he says, because you're in it for the betterment of the fighter, what does it mean not only to have the tremendous aspects that you just described, but to actually know that the promoter truly puts you first? I mean, it's got to be a first time that this has happened for you in the sport.
Yeah, it is, you know, my biggest, the biggest deal I got going on. And it's, I'm really happy. I did talk to the other promoter, whatever, from the other show. And like, honestly, I have a $1 million contract from them sitting on my desk. I just smelt the bullshit through the phone. And when I talked to Dave, he was really straightforward. He, you know, like I had questions, he answered them. And the other guy was talking so much smack on everyone. And just Dave was just like legit. He all business. He wasn't trying to like, I'll pay you this much. I'll pay, you know, he was just like real legit. And the other guy was just so full of bullshit. I went sideways. I forgot the question. But yeah, I talked to both of them, and that dude was just, he was out there.
Yeah, the question was just, you know, because it doesn't happen in the sport. If it does, it's very rarely happens that you find a promoter that cares actually more about the fighters than the promotion itself. And you really find that in Dave Feldman. I mean, it's not, I mean, I generally like to call out the bad people in the sport, but Dave Feldman, I can't do that. You know, Jennifer, they're getting ready for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships 5. They just had their tryouts. What would you like for Dave Feldman or Nate Shook to pick up the phone, and what would you like to transpire in your life and career through them?
I just want to fight again. I'm just happy to be on their show. I just want to fight and, you know, work my way up and earn a shot at the belt. And the only way to do that is, you know, with hard work and just for me to prove myself to them that, you know, I'm worth keeping on. And so Dave, I think, did he used to fight?
With yeah,
or am
yeah
I
back in the day, and I know he used to corner a lot of fighters too. I mean, I think he's fought, cornered fighters. I think he's done every aspect of the sport. I mean, I know fighters that Dave used to corner him way back in the day, and I think he still does. It's kind of crazy.
That's
yeah,
probably why he's such
just,
a great promoter.
Yeah. Well, you got to care about the fighters. You know, Jennifer, if there was one thing you could say to the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships world fans and the people listening to the show today about what you plan to bring to the sport and where you feel you're going forward in life and a statement, the floor is yours, my friend.
What do I plan to bring? I plan to bring some more awesome fights, you know, for the fans to watch and, you know, just do my best and get in there and hopefully beat some ass because that's the end game, right?
Oh, I can't wait. You know, I think you deserve a tremendous opportunity. You know, what you've created, you know, in every aspect of mixed martial arts, you've always set, you know, your heart and mind to do it. And that's the humility of a true warrior. You know, I was going to ask you what pride, passion, and perseverance means to you, but I think you already know. It's the martial way. It's the martial law. And, you know, you surely gained a fan in me, and I usually don't become anybody's fan because I've been in the sport too long, but you surely gained a fan in me, and I'm truly honored and humbled that you come on the show each and every time. You know, it's tremendous to be able to share who you are and just your thoughts. But I'm going to hand the mic to you if you have any sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program.
I'd like to, you know, first off, thank God for everything he's done. My husband, my family, sponsors, Chase Chevrolet, Ziggy's here in Stockton, Ziggy Smoke Shop, and Stockton Open Air Mall. Give a shout out to 209 Club Pet and Animal Rescue Kennels.
Now, where can they find you on social media, my friend?
I have a Facebook. I'm under Jennifer Tate. And then my Instagram is 209 Rose.
Cool. You know, I guess I put the cart before the horse. I kind of actually looked at the clock a little bit wrong. You still have a few minutes, so if you don't mind, Matt, can I ask you a couple more questions?
Go for it.
Cool. I apologize, man. It's been one of them days. Pain medication, let me tell you. But, you know, you look at life and you look at the things we're given. I think, you know, in my opinion, that God creates our life. We just live it, and we have to deal with the struggles and adversities that come through it, and we grow from that aspect. What has a sport taught Jennifer Tate, and how has it humbled her?
You know, that I could pretty much do whatever I set my mind to. Back in the day when I first started, women didn't fight, and I took a lot of guff for women aren't supposed to fight, you know, and fighting for like $50, $75, fighting for free just to get in there and do it. So, you know, if you want something, go for it, and don't be afraid to start at the bottom, and because you can only work your way up.
That's true. That's real true. You know, you're from a place that isn't too far from where I used to live. I used to live in Sacramento. You know, you look at the mass amount of fighters there. You look at the mass amount of gyms. Even in that area from there to Fresno, you know, there's a lot of fighters. How does a fighter like Jennifer Tate make that statement, make that mark on the sport to where they have recognized you, and how does it feel that you've done so?
I was the only female fighter out of this area for a long time, so I just started the game, you know, like I got my foot in the door and just fought whoever, and I don't know if people know me or not, but that doesn't matter to me because that's not why I'm in it. I just say, I've been in it so long that really I was the only female fighter out of this area for so long, so many years, that they couldn't have any, you know, they had to notice me.
You know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, I guess, because we've got that much more time. I totally screwed up. My pain meds are messing with me. But didn't you back in the day, about 8 or 9 years ago, weren't you the one that pulled out of the FCF tournament because you found out that you were pregnant again?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, how hard was that? I mean, my friend, because to me, you listen to you and you hear how, you know, much passion and pride you have for what you do. How hard was that for you? You know, because it's kind of like a double-edged sword, but it's good on both sides.
It was tough, and all my downtime was really tough. I know other fighters probably understand how hard it is to step away from the sport, but I had my kids, and I love them, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know, and I'm just so happy to get another chance. I'm young enough to still pursue what I love to do, and I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
no,
it was depressing. Like, you get depressed when you're not fighting.
Yeah, you know, Diego Lima, I called him after, I think he was off for 18 months, and I was like, don't bite my head off, bro. But, you know, what you experienced and learned from Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships 3, you know, how much more has that added to the thoughts in the arsenal of Jennifer Tate, knowing that this next opportunity is right down the street?
I mean, it's just, it's really lit a fire in me to do better. You know, I took a bad loss. That was the first time I'd ever been dropped or stopped. It was a new experience, that's for sure. So it's a lot different than boxing. I know it is bare knuckle boxing, but the slight change in rules, is a big difference, and it's just I need to train a whole new different way. I can't just train for a boxing match.
Yeah. Well, if I can ever teach a veteran one thing, and I think James Krause, the UFC fighter, and I've used this so many times, you know, because I don't see, you know, a night that didn't go your way as a loss. You know, and he was asked in a Q&A what it's like to be 22-7. He said, I'm not 22-7, I'm 22-0 with 7 lessons learned. You know, what you guys do, stepping up in the octagon, stepping up in the ring, stepping up in the squared octagon and bare knuckle, is tremendous. It's more than most people will even have the balls to do in a lifetime. So it can never be a loss. It can only be a lesson, because you pick up and you learn from that. You know, I'm going to ask you one more question, then I'll let you get about your day. When you think about today's show, we talked about many aspects of you, including your family and the thoughts of your parents. How grateful is Jennifer Tate for the opportunities that the sport with its entirety has truly given you?
I'm very grateful. Fighting really saved my life. When I was younger, I knew I had something in me. I didn't know what it was, and so I tried to fulfill it by going out and getting all kinds of trouble and doing all kinds of crazy shit. And, you know, I was in and out of jail. And when I got to the gym, I finally found my way to a gym. I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, so like, I'm just so grateful that I found fighting and an outlet, a way to express myself, because that was the need that I needed to fulfill that I was trying to do so many other ways. And it really straightened me out, and I'm a better person because of it.
You know, I like that, because I come from the projects, you know, and then I kind of got shipped off to military school to come back to have people tell me that I would never amount to anything in life. And it's tremendous when you can prove to yourself what you're capable of, and then to sit back and kind of have a smirk because of others telling you couldn't do so. You know, I think you got a long, tremendous road ahead of you in the sport, my friend. I think what you've proven in the sport already makes you a warrior, but I think your heart and your compassion takes you above that level. With that being said, you know, I truly am honored that you joined the show today. It's great. I can't wait to see you back. You know, honestly, I really can't. I think this sport is going to be something that you'll take over and truly own in your own right. With that being said, I appreciate you coming on today, my friend.
Well, thank you for having me on. I always love being on your show. You're great to talk to.
I appreciate that. The respect's both ways. You have a great day, and as soon as you get something, we'll have you right back on.
Right on. Great. Well, I'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. You have a good day.
Bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jennifer Tate. Truly a humble lady, truly a humble veteran. You know, I think she's going to do great in the world of bare knuckle boxing. We got the Crippler coming on, man. How cool was that? I mean, I've interviewed my brother several times. I don't know how much we're going to get into the Fighting Federation, because I did call out Boss Rutan, and I got to kind of watch what I say on the radio. But the thing of it is it's pretty jacked up when you don't pay your fighters, especially at the holidays. And that truly don't sit well with me. And it obviously didn't sit well with Chris Lehman. With that being said, let's go ahead and give the Crippler a call. As much as we text message, he better answer. Oh, no. It's saying the call failed. I might have to have him give us a call back. We're going to take a brief time out. When we come back, we'll have Chris Lehman on.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the street.
Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
I apologize for that. We're going to go ahead and try to give him a call again. For some reason, it's saying his number. Yeah, I text him, and hopefully he'll be calling in here. Crap. I knew I couldn't go through a show without a technical difficulty, but yet I still do live radio. We got him right here. Here's the Crippler. Yes. Chris,
hello?
Thank you so much, man. For some reason, it's saying an international call when I try to dial your number, which is weird because I have international calling on the show. But, ladies and gentlemen, the Crippler. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, always, brother, always, man. You know, I interviewed you for that other promotion,
mm-hmm.
and things didn't go so good, bro. I kind of found out a week before when a couple of the fighters that I had gotten on the card or had talked into doing that aspect of the sport hit me and said, hey, Don, we hadn't heard about our airlines. We haven't no hotel, nothing. You know, the fight's a week away. I spoke to a manager of two of the main card people, and they told me, you know, hey, man, I'm not even sure this event's going to happen. What was it that had Chris Lieben, and I don't know if you can talk about it because you're under legal counsel right now, but what was it that had Chris Lieben go ahead and accept that fight, knowing that there was issues, or did you know there was issues that were transpiring?
I knew there was issues. You know, there was one reason, and one, I mean, really, there were two people that came on board later on that I respect so highly. You know, one was Burt Watson, And the other one was Boss Rutten, you know. And, you know, immediately when, you know, they had the issue with the matchmaker and everything, you know, I called Burt Watson, and Burt said, hey, listen, Chris, I've talked to Boss, everything is good. I called Boss, and Boss said, look, I'm on board, everything is good, your contract is a go, I verified, they got the money, the fight's going to happen. You know, we faced a bunch of adversity, but everything, Chris, everything is good, you know. And, I mean, because, yeah, you're right. There was some warning signs early, you know, and obviously hindsight's 20/20. But, you know, I went ahead, you know, and you know, I trusted in my long-term relationships with these people, you know, and I had faith, you know, that things were going to play out for the best.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because I talked to Joe Daddy Stevenson early in the deal, and he was supposed to do some work for him, and they ended up reneging on him, and they paid him off. Thank God he got paid. And the thing that was kind of weird is like when they asked me to be a part and interview the, you know, the fighters, it was different, you know, and it's just the whole situation, it just felt shady. You know, later on, I called Boss Rutten out on a public live feed on social media, you know, because I had fighters that were hitting me, you know, and they were like, bro, it's the holidays, and we haven't gotten paid. We don't know what to do.
Sure,
how hard
yeah.
is it for a fighter to, because you're putting out the money for fight camp. You're forking out all the money for the bills. Yeah, how hard is it for a fighter right before the holidays not to get paid?
I mean, it was pretty tough, especially in my case, you know, having taken the the long time off, you know, and then the battle back, the recovery, my health, you know, that I'm training, you know, and, you know, and things were tight, but, you know, I still managed to give all my coaches a portion of their money up front, you know, because the travel for them, the time off work for them is expensive too, you know, so I gave everybody that came out with me money that I gave, you know, gave them per diem while they were there. You know, not to mention, you know, I said, hey, I'm making some money for this fight. I'm going to go ahead and get these massages and do this chiropractic care, which I really couldn't afford, you know, but I wanted to be in the best shape possible. And I said, you know what, I know I'm going to get the money back before the holidays, so everything will be okay, you know. And it wasn't. So I spent money I didn't have. I mean, and I'm not the only one. A lot of people do that, you know. You prepare and you want to be in the best shape possible. You know, I was getting some of my classes covered, and I was like, it's all coming back to me. Obviously, I wasn't thinking that, you know, hey, this money's not coming back, and, you know, you got a brand new child, and it's, you know, it's going to be his second Christmas ever, and, you got an old lady that you just proposed to, or, you know, paid for a ring, expecting to get money back for that, you know. It was obviously tough. It was obviously tough.
Yeah, and that's why I took to the airways, man. You know me. I took out KOP in Michigan for racism. I did the story of Joe Torres, the MMA fighter that was being tried for murder when he, you know, was attacked in his own house in Las Cruces, New Mexico. I've done a lot, you know. I'm the one that's always willing to go against the grain. And when this story came about, man, it just really chapped my ass, to be honest with you, because I've been in the sport for 23 years as a photographer. I know what you guys go through. And I remember the interview that we had and how excited you and Johnny Hendricks, you know, truly were to have, you know, this opportunity. You know, some of the other fighters, you know, they were content with getting that check every Friday or every other Friday. But that isn't how the sports industry works. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it was all about family. You know, you just proposed, you know, it's your kid's second Christmas. And you don't fuck with a man's family. I mean, that's the bottom line, and that's the way I look at it. I don't really want to harp on that too much because you got a tremendous opportunity right after this adversity.
Yes, you know, that's something I do want to get in clear, you know, because, you know, I've got this awesome upcoming fight with BKFC 5, April 6th. You know, I'll post about it, and I'll get these people online that are like, they didn't pay you. Why are you fighting for them? And I like, it's so hard for me to realize how unobservant some people are, you know, and, you know, the fact, you know, so then, you know, BKFC calls me and they go, Chris, they think that we're the other guys. And I'm like, well, I don't know how they could possibly think that, you know, the way that I'm wording it. But just so everybody here understands, obviously I would not fight again for an organization that never paid me the first time. The guys I fought for in Wyoming are not BKFC, who I will be fighting for. As you know, BKFC's they've been killing it, man. This is their fifth show. They got a ton of superstars. You know, they just had fighter tryouts last week, you know. They're doing really big things. I'm really excited to be part of that organization. And first and foremost, please, everybody out there, do not confuse the two, because it doesn't help BKFC. It doesn't help me. You know, I want to paint them in a great light. I certainly don't want them to get confused, people to confuse them with this other organization that Boss Rutan was the president of that had one show and one show only and didn't pay their bills. Totally.
Yeah, well, you're on the right show, bro, because I do the radio aspect on the syndicated side for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Felton and Nate Shook happen to be part of my life, and Nate Shook I've known for quite a few years. And that's actually, like I was telling Jennifer Tate, that's actually, it's comical in a sort of a way, Chris, because that's how me and Dave Feldman met. He had been following my career, my radio show, and different aspects of me. Mm-hmm. And the night I took to the live and called out Boss Rutan and called him a piece of shit, and had a friend who was an attorney that was willing to take up the cases for any fighters that weren't paid by that following Monday, Dave Feldman called me that night. And he told me, he says, I love the way you are. I love what you represent and what you do. And I said, well, let's figure out something where we can work together. And we decided to do that through the radio aspect. And
awesome.
I've actually even, you know, Shannon Rich was in USA versus Mexico because I connected them, and I've done that with a couple of other fighters. Dave Feldman is a tremendous man, and I'm going to tell you the reason why. In 23 years, I have never heard a promoter call somebody and tell them that they like that they go against the grain, that they're for the betterment of the fighter, and that the promotion that he has is the same exact way, that he's more for the fighter than he is for the promotion, and that's why the fighters, you know, get taken care of so well, and that's why the promotion is doing so good. What does it mean to you now, the veteran, the man that just walked away from getting screwed? What does it mean to you? Because in the sport, it's a rarity to have a promoter like Dave Feldman truly be for the fighters compared to the past of Chris Leben.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm super grateful, you know, especially considering, you know, I was talking to BKFC, and then I ended up taking this other fight because they threw this, you know, large amount of money at me, you know, and then, you know, afterward, you know, Dave Feldman called me up and he said, hey, man, I understand, you know, you thought you were going to get a bunch more money, so you took that fight. Hey, I'm not mad about it. You know, I still want you. If you want to fight for us, we would love to have you, you know. And I think a lot of people would have probably took it personally, and he didn't take it personally at all. He still called me. He said, listen, you know, I promise you what I pay you, you're going to get, you know, and we'd love to have you, you know, and he let you out, you know, and that was huge because, you know, initially, you know, I felt like, God, I just made the worst decision ever. You know, now what am I going to do? You know, so for him to reach out to me and say, hey, man, we're here, you know, that was a cool thing.
Yeah, he's a trip, man. It blew my mind when I first met him. You know, it's crazy because, Chris, I've known you for a while now. You've done the show quite a few times. And we actually, part of my subsidiary, we actually sponsor you through Bybee Mouthguards.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a pretty cool aspect, you know, and... You know, we're starting to do that for a lot of the BKFC guys, but what does it mean for you to now truly get the second opportunity? I mean, we were hitting on it or whatever, but, you know, how much is that restored faith truly back now that you know you get this opportunity against Justin Baseman?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm grateful. Without words, I'm super grateful. I'm super excited, you know, and the way I'm looking at it is, hey, everything that happened up until this point is what was supposed to happen to get me here. You know, I'm preparing for this fight just like I prepared for my last fight, which is harder than ever. You know, I'm in great shape, you know, and there's nothing about this opportunity that I'm going to let slip through my fingers. You know, I'm making sure that, you know, I'm dotting my I's, I'm crossing my T's. Everything is covered in my training, you know. I had Joey Beltran, the executioner, came in today. We sparred 6 hard rounds. You know, I got great guys pushing me. You know, the diet is perfect. You know, the weight cut is on track. You know, it's just, hey, you know, after everything I've been through, you know, in my life and where I'm at now, you know, I've got an opportunity to put a couple more fights on for the fans out there, you know, and I'm not going to let them down. I'm going to go out there and do awesome and have exciting fights. And, and show the world that hey, I'm better than I've ever been.
Brother, you can't never let the sport down, homie. You've already done too much in this damn thing to even think about that thought. But
yeah,
I
ain't going back to college at this point.
I
love it, you know, and as you know, I'm involved in so many aspects of the sport. You know, I was reffing on Friday, I reffed last Sunday. You know, I'm coaching every day, teaching private lessons, training fighters, you know, and now I'm back to training myself and competing again as well. So, I mean, short of being a promoter myself, I'm covering almost every base.
That's kind of what I do, bro, but I don't know how I've done it for so long. You know, people think I just shoot and do radio, and that's enough to fill a man's schedule, but then
they
I broker
do.
Deals.
It, you know, it drives me nuts. You wouldn't believe how many guys I get that reach out to me like every freaking day that say, you know, hey, I've got this great MMA podcast. And, you know, I look it up online and it's like there's some obscure Canadian podcast with 7 viewers, you know, and it's like, you know, no, I'm not doing it. Like, I can't do it, you know, and if you do, if you make the mistake and you do one of those shows, one, all their friends try to come out of the woodwork, and two, they're not. It's like talking to a fan. Which don't get me wrong, I love talking to a fan, but it's not the same as like when I do your show and you're gonna have valid questions. You're educated in the sport. You know what's going on. You can bring up guys like what's going on with Dave Feldman, and you have a history. You know, so. I know what you're saying, man, because nowadays everybody thinks that they want to be a freaking radio host.
Yeah. You know, they do. And don't get me wrong. I've got kids out there that I'm mentoring because they've come to me and asked me. And I like leaving that aspect of my legacy and help creating their legacy because if I don't, who's going to do it and who's going to do it right in the future?
Well,
but people don't realize. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, there's the proper channels to take, you know. For example, if you want to be a fighter, you join a gym. You know, at my gym, you're going to train like regular member for at least a year. Then you're going to get onto the fight team. And then when you're prepared for a fight, we're going to go out and find you a fight. You know, I go to these shows sometimes, and I see these kids that just decided they wanted to be a fighter, and, you know, it's a rude awakening for them. You know, because they didn't go through the proper lines.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's also crazy, too, because as with you know, I do sponsorships. I broker deals. I help matchmake. And people like us, we don't brag about what we do. And that's the point I was trying to get at. We do it because we love it. We don't know any different. Hell, I walked away from being an engineer to step into this sport and take a 3/4% pay cut, but I do it because I love it. You know, I got my start in boxing, and then this MMA thing came around, and I kind of been hooked ever since. But it's fighters like you that have truly encapsulated me. You know, I look at my interviews with Daniel Cormier, Kung Lee, Mark Coleman, Dan Severn, and so many others that have said it's the greatest radio show they've ever done, and I'm humbled by that, but that's not why I do it. I do it because I know what you guys go through. You know, the fans, you think you know the sport. You see what you see on social media, and you read whatever on Twitter and this and that, or see what you see on TV, but you don't realize these fighters have to go through 2-hour media scrums, and basically what that entails, they get like 20 or 30 interviewers, and then they get asked the same question like 30 times in a freaking row. And
you
it's like
it,
you're
man.
Talking to a robot, and there's no camaraderie there. Well, when I created the show, Chris, it was named something else before, but I put it out there because I wanted the fighters to name a show that best reflected them. And we came up with the Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire. And I let the fighters speak. And for the first time in the sport, the fighters believed in this platform. They believed in the show because it was the first show that was out there that allowed you guys to speak. What does it mean? And I'm not trying to put anybody down, but what does it mean for a fighter to be able to come on a show and truly express his thoughts?
Well, you know, it's rare. I feel like, you know, a lot of the interviews that I do, or, you know, it's exactly like you said, you know, it's going to be I could almost say, okay, well, they asked this question, this is the one that's coming next. This is the one that's coming next. And if you remember last time I talked to you, I actually pointed that out, but, you know, you actually had some really interesting angles, and you asked some points that most people just don't touch on. You know, they usually, you know, they probably listen to one interview and they do almost the same one that they heard. You know, they're almost like a broken record, you know, you're repeating it. So, yeah, it's nice to get out there and explain, you know, stuff that isn't glaring, you know, that people isn't an obvious question, stuff that comes up. You know, I like to be able to obviously touch on something fresh.
You know, and Chris, you know, along with my shows, I've always told you I'm as transparent can be. So when it comes to Justin Baseman happens to be a fighter that I've been interviewing for probably the last 4 or 5 years. He's been on a downslide in his career. I mean, he won't mind me saying that because it's factual. And here you are getting this opportunity in Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. What does it mean to Chris Lieben knowing that you're going in there against a fighter that's on a 4 or 5 fight losing streak, or lesson streak, as I should say, but this is his first time stepping up in bare knuckle, and this is your second. You know, what aspects play in the mind of Chris Lieben knowing that you are going in there with a dangerous 4-time world champion?
It's really a double-edged sword, you know, because people look at the record and they go, oh, well, you know, you beat him. They go, oh, you're supposed to beat him. You know, you fight a war with him, you know, and they go, oh, you know, he should have done better. This guy beat him or that guy beat him. But if you look at his record, you look at some of his wins, he beat some really tough guys. You know, beat Scott Smith, fought Herman Toronto to a draw, who I train with, and I know how tough he is. You know, so, you know, I was watching his tape. You know, you got to respect him. You got to respect his power. You got to respect his ability to take damage and stay in there. You know, so, I mean, for me, it's almost more motivating. You know, the way that I look at it, I look at things, I say, one, you know, my last fight was easier. You never have two easy fights in a row, so I know this next one's going to be a bloodbath. And number two, you know, I want to look good. I want to do well, you know. So I'm not resting on knowing that, hey, he hasn't had the best luck in his last few fights. That doesn't affect me. You know, when people call me and, you know, some of my friends, and they say, oh, well, this should be easy, he did that, it makes me more upset than anything. Because, you know what, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear I'm fighting the best fucking Justin Baseman that the world has ever seen. And I'll tell you what, that's who I'm training for, you know. I'm training for a bare-knuckle match against a top-level guy. I'm doing everything that I can possibly do. Because the last thing I want is to take somebody lightly and go out there and have things not work out and have to sit at home and go, well, I could have, would have, should have.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you, because he's got heart. The kid's got heart. The kid's got determination. And, you know, he reminds me actually of a Chris Lieben in some ways. You know, Chris, coming off of Wyoming, it was your opportunity in bare knuckle. What was that opportunity like for you, and what did you take away from it that you feel is going to help you in this fight against Baseman?
You know, one thing I realized is, you know, slugging it out in bare knuckle is a hard day at the office, if you know what I'm saying. You know, I'm looking at it after that last fight. I'm looking at it as, hey, you know, I'm moving, I'm working. The power's going to come. I don't need to sit there and trade with this guy, you know. I don't need to go punch for punch with him and prove who's tougher, you know. And I've really been focusing on, hey, I need to work my boxing, not just, you know, just slugging it out and see who falls down first, you know. Because you know what? I know that's what everybody wants to see. Well, that always happens at some point in any one of my fights, you know. So I don't necessarily need to focus on that aspect, you know. I need to focus on fighting clean and playing a smart game.
Yeah, most definitely. And I can guarantee you my listeners and the fans of BKSC, especially the ones attending BKSC 5, that it's not going to be a Spence Garcia fight, I can tell you. that fight was horrible, bro. I'm sorry I had to bring that up, but, you know, I love bare-knuckle boxing so much, and I'm glad they brought this back because, you know, I am a boxing fan, and I even have a boxing show, but I tell you what, man, that fight with Spence and Garcia last night just... I don't know, man. I was like, I waited all night for 12 rounds of what? it was like, oh, Garcia didn't show up and Spence did everything, but he doesn't have the power to knock anybody out, so it makes for a long night. As a photographer, those are the types of fights that we hate. I mean, I'll be honest with you, it's like, I hate the fights that go the distance. I mean, you know, when you look at your aspect of who you are and what you've created in the sport, you've never been one to want it to go the distance. You've always been, fuck the crippler, you know, and I think they nicknamed you well. You know, Justin Baseman's my boy, and I'm not, like I said, I ain't going to lie, I'm transparent about it, but when it comes to fighting, once that door closes or you step into the ring or the squared octagon, there is no friendship there. It's two warriors doing battle. It's two warriors going to work. You know, if you had to make a statement to the sport about what they can expect from a tremendous veteran as yourself coming into your second outing in the bare knuckle world, what would that statement be, Chris? And I know you don't talk shit, so.
You know, I want them to go, whoa, this guy can box. This guy can move. You know, this guy can perform with boxing at a high level. That's what I want the people to see. You know, I'd like to get a clean knockout. You know, I mean, I don't want to shoot that out there. I'm ready for a war. You know, I'd love to move, set something up perfect, and whack. You know, as opposed to taking six shots and then giving one and winning, like it has happened so many times before. I mean, I've already done that, you know. I can't tell you how often people go, man, the punches you took, you know, it's just amazing. And I go, well, you know, trying to dodge some of them. But I want to show the world how clean I can be, how smooth I can be.
Oh, yeah, you know. The crippler in his rarest form. I mean, I gotta swear, I swear to God, that's probably the dopest name in all of MMA. I mean, you think about it. I've heard some pretty crazy crap, you know, but the crippler. Who actually gave you that? Because, I mean, they couldn't have picked a better name. But it's like. It just think about it. If you were getting ready and they told you, hey, Chris, guess what? And your nickname wasn't the Crippler, and they told you, dude, you're getting ready to fight the Crippler. I mean, wouldn't it scare the shit out of you, bro?
You know, yeah, and it's a funny thing because I had never heard it until, you know, Mike Goldberg announced me as until he goes, the Crippler, blah, 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 and like, because after the first season of The Ultimate Fighter, for a while there, and I think that first Chase and Thacker fight, they called me the Cat Smasher because Stephen Bonner was making, because I got drunk and I was like, I smash cats or something. And then, like, So Stephen Bonner started calling me that, and then, but I got to say, kind of glad that somebody decided to make the switch. It wasn't me. You know, you obviously don't pick your own nickname. So up until that point, I had gone through a couple different names, and then once that one was used once, that was it. It was stuck. It was set in stone.
Yeah, and I love it. You know, I interviewed a young man, and I brought it up in my Jennifer Tate interview, and I talk about him from time to time because it truly is the story of the sport. You know, you look at the world champion in BKFC, Arnold Adams, and he's a man that gave up everything and was truly living in his car for these tryouts. And he made it into the tournament, and he won the tournament and became the champion. He was the first African-American ever to receive the John L. Sullivan belt and the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships belt. And it truly cemented him, not just as a legacy, but it cemented him in the history books of the sport. What would it mean for Chris Lieben to win that belt and get the John L. Sullivan belt and be cemented into history as well?
Man, it would be huge. It would be massive. And obviously, you know, that's, you know, looking down the road, I love to catch myself daydreaming about that. But right now, you know, I got to get through April 6th. Right now, that's my thoughts. That's my mind track is get through this one, and then you can start daydreaming about what's next.
You know, and I love it. You know, it's funny. I had a young kid by the name of Jamal Pokes, and another kid that was getting ready to fight in glory, Charles Rockstar Rodriguez. And it killed me because, you know, they taught me. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, people. Because I asked this kid, what's it like going to be like to fight in glory? He says, don't know, man. Can't tell you. Haven't fought there yet. And I was like, okay, I guess I got put in my place. And I said, when you look at your last fight and this next fight, what would be the comparison? He says, brother, can't tell you because you're only as good as your next fight. And so I was like, okay, I'm batting 1,000 here, bro. I'm like, but I learned from that. And you look at it, and you see these humble young kids coming up. What does it mean for a veteran like you to feel like you're, because we talked about the second chapter before, but what does it feel like for Chris Lieben to now know that the reality is real, the promotion is real, and now you're going to be able to take care of your family, you're going to be able to do things that you need to take care of in life, and know that you can trust in this promotion that is going to give you tremendous opportunities moving forward in life.
You know, that's so exciting, you know, and that aspect is taken care of, and I can focus on, you know, on the legacy, like you're saying, on, you know, what's going to happen next with my fighting, what can I do in this world of bare knuckle, you know, how far can I go, you know, that I'm in. So that's, for me, you know, it's great. You know, the family, the finance, that I'm gonna get paid, that they're gonna take care of me in that way, and that I can dedicate myself 100% to preparing and competing, you know, in BKFC, and not have to worry and threat and, you know, have anxiety about, you know, all those other things that are so important in life. You know, obviously, you know, family comes first, you know, but knowing that once they're taken care of, it gives me that extra energy to be able to put that 100% towards where am I going, what am I doing, you know, the legacy.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I know one thing, I haven't asked anybody ever for anything like this, but I know, and I'll pay for the shirt, bro, but I do want an autographed Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships shirt signed by Chris Chris the Crippler leaving. I know that. I got to add that to my collection, homie. Because, you know, I've interviewed some of the best in the sport, but by far you're one of the most humble that has ever, well, you and Kung Lee are two of the most humble that have ever come across my show. And I'm grateful for that. You know, I look at that aspect and I appreciate that. You know, I interviewed Jason, I forget his name, Jason, Kenny Johnson, my bad, the owner of Black House MMA the other day. And I learned something valuable about this sport. It's not what you bring to it. It's not what you take away from it. It's the moment that you're in it. What does that statement mean to Chris Lieben?
That is very true. I mean, there is nothing like walking out to a sold-out arena and knowing that everybody's there to watch you put it on the line. I mean, there's no feeling comparable. And there's no feeling comparable to winning or the defeat, you know, this sport that is the other side of this sport. I mean, if you ever felt like you haven't lived life to the fullest, put yourselves in one of these events and you'll, and you'll realize that is, for me, that moment, you know, is I'm 100%, I'm fully alive. There's nothing else I'm thinking about. There's nothing else in the world going on in my mind that I'm, you know, ultimately centered.
Yeah. I love that, man. You know, Chris, it's an honor each and every time I get to have you on the show. I can't wait for April 6th. When I saw you were signed to BKFC, I was like, oh, snap. Honestly, I was happy because I know you got screwed over bad, bro. And I knew this was a tremendous organization, and I was like, that's why I pushed so hard to get you on the show, because they're going to start rolling in a lot of their fighters, you know, and I wanted to get you on in the beginning because you deserve that. You've given your time to the sport. You've given your time to the fans, and you deserve the humility and the honor and the integrity given back to you, as you've done for everybody else. The walk you walk is truly transparent, and what you do for the sport is tremendous. But if you had to, man, and like I said, I know you don't talk crap, but what can you say about April 6th in a quick, I guess, retrospect about, for the fans, what they can expect, what they're going to see from the Crippler?
they're going to see, you know, the most focused, most prepared Chris Lieben that has ever been out there. And, to Justin, I just want to warn him that is a very dangerous thing.
Wow. Well said, my friend. You know, Chris, it truly is an honor to help sponsor you in certain aspects. It's an honor to see you go out there and get this opportunity with a true promotion. I'm truly glad and grateful that Dave Feldman reached out to you.
Awesome.
This organization is going to take off with you being a part of it. I wish you the best of luck, my brother, come April 6th. I'm going to hand you the mic. If you have any sponsors, friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, brother.
Oh, no. Well, thanks for having me, man. Really, always love doing your show. And, you know, if anybody wants to hit me up on Instagram or Facebook, I get right back to you. If anybody wants to train, I'm at the Arena MMA. My main sponsors, Genesis and Boardwalk Recovery, thank those guys for backing me. That's it, man. That's it. And I can't wait to go out there and put on a show for everybody April 6th.
Oh, most definitely. And you truly are. You know, if you're not going to be there, head on over to bareknuckle.tv, place your orders now, and This is a stacked card. You're not going to want to miss any of this card. It truly is a tremendous card that they got going. And the organization is growing, brother. It's great to see people like, you know, you and Loboff and Knight and who else did they just sign to? Anthony Rumble Johnson. You know, it's nice to see the part of the sport that I love getting new and reinvigorated in the world of bare knuckle. With that being said, I wish you the best of luck. God bless you, brother. I hope things work out April 6th, and we'll have you on the show right after.
Awesome, man. Thanks. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
I appreciate it, bro. You have a good day, and God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, man, I love that dude, man. I should have asked him if he's going to get his hair red this time. You know, when you think of the sport of MMA and you look at these tremendous veterans, a lot of people sometimes say, oh, they're done in MMA. Well, guess again, because like Slim Shady says at Eminem, guess who's back? Back again. Well, the Crippler's back, and he's going to create utter devastation. It's going to be a war, like you heard him say, with my homeboy Justin Baseman. I can't wait. It's going to be a hell of a night. And Bare Knuckle Fighting Champions is doing a tremendous job. On that note, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cut Man for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran and Juan Ramirez, the 86ers with Alfred and Freddie, and last but not least, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice. You know, without those, I wouldn't be able to continue the show. So much love to especially Finished MMA. Getting ready to get a bunch of shirts. I'm going to put them up for sale. It's to go for my recovery on my bills from my accident as we get paid from event to event. And truly aspect that my sponsor did was made a bunch of shirts up and gave them to me, and I get to keep 100% of the sales. That truly says something about that man and his walk in life. And God bless him and his family, and God bless you. With that being said, good day, and God bless.